The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 17th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
The apostle said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." The Lord replied, "If you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it would obey you. Who among you would say to your slave who has just come in from plowing or tending sheep in the field, 'Come here at once and take your place at the table'? Would you not rather say to him, 'Prepare supper for me, put on your apron and serve me while I eat and drink. Later you may eat and drink'? Do you thank the slave for doing what was commanded? So you also, when you have done all that you were ordered to do, say, 'We are worthless slaves. We have done only what we ought to have done.'" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you that your word comes to us as a living document, that it speaks to our hearts and minds. And so I would ask that you would take the words of my mouth and the meditation of each and every heart and make it acceptable in your sight, for it is in Christ's name that I pray. Amen. In her autobiography, Broadway actress and also movie star, Helen Hayes tells about her very first time, her first attempt to cook a Thanksgiving turkey. Before bringing it out of the kitchen to set before her family on the dining room table, Hayes announced to her husband and son, "Now you know this is the very first turkey that I have ever cooked. If it isn't any good, I don't want anybody to say one single word. We'll just get up from the table without comment and we will go to a restaurant and eat." She then turned and went back into the kitchen, did her final preparations with the turkey on the platter, and then started to make her way into the dining room. Well, when she arrived there with turkey in hand, she found her husband and her son seated at the table with their coats, hats, and gloves on. I think we can safely assume that they didn't have a lot of faith in her cooking ability of the turkey, can we not? In our gospel today, the disciples, they are suffering from a lack of faith. And Jesus seems to even, to a certain extent, sort of prod them with his statement, "If you had even the faith of a mustard seed." Boys and girls, our boys who are up there, you know how tiny that is, right? If you had even the faith of a mustard seed. Those things are small, right? And that's the amount of faith Jesus mentions. The message seems to be that the disciples, they don't seem to have enough faith. But this is not what Jesus meant. Jesus knows that his disciples have all the faith that they really need in life. What they do not have is an understanding of what it means to simply have faith. I think to have a better handle on our gospel lesson, it's really necessary for us to be aware of the first part of chapter 17. In years past, the lectionary used to include verses 1 through 4. Now it's only 5 through 10. So I'm going to go back up here. We're going to look at especially verse 3 and 4. Here it is. Here's what Jesus says. "If your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you 7 times in a day, and 7 times comes back to you and says, 'I repent,' forgive him." There in those verses, Jesus talks about rebuking and repenting and forgiving. And what to do when those actions, well, when they don't seem to work out as well as what the forgiver had hoped. And after advising the disciples to rebuke people who fall into sin, he then tells them that this is so important that they must be willing to do it over and over and over again, even if the sinner commits the same offense 7 times in one day. And ask for forgiveness as many times as well. It is no wonder, is it not? I mean, think about it. It is no wonder that the disciples say, well, Lord, increase our faith. Who wouldn't say that, right? This is a tall task. Forgiveness like that can feel superhuman. It can feel even at the point of being divine. I have to tell you a story about myself. Whenever I was caught as a child being disobedient, doing whatever was wrong, well, I was a compliant child, so I never would sit and argue with my parents and say, oh, no, I didn't do it, or he made me do it, or whatever, that kind of a thing. Whenever I was caught, I would simply hang my head and say, I'm sorry. I am really, really sorry. And I remember once that my mother evidently had had enough of me and my shenanigans and my disobedience. And I remember that she looked me square in the eye. And she said, I know that you are sorry. You're always sorry. But what I want to know is when you are going to stop this. In the text, Jesus seems to be asking more from us than is humanly possible. And he is, which is the point of the text. When the disciples say, increase our faith, Lord, they are thinking of faith as some kind of human endeavor, as something that we sort of manufacture inside of us and then we do it all alone. Some kind of intense believing, some really positive thinking on our part that then results in good things happening. That is an issue for us sometimes. And so we see that the disciples are thinking about their faith from a very human point of reference here, a point of view. But Jesus is talking about faith from God's side of the equation, not the human side, but God's side. And so it's why Jesus says that faith, even the size of a tiny little mustard seed, can uproot a large tree and plant it in the ocean. It is not the faith that you and I work feverishly to muster, at that moment, that accomplishes an event like that. But rather it is the power of our God who causes it to come to pass. Those disciples are worried about their ability to forgive as much as what Jesus seems to be demanding. And so they ask for an increase in their faith so that they'll be able to perform this kind of task, these feats of humility and generosity and compassion. And don't you know, those poor guys were sort of shaking in their boots, fretting. How am I going to do this? Their performance as a follower and a disciple of Jesus, how? They desired to look spiritual and very faithful to the Lord. So Jesus reminds them in this teaching that in the life of faith, it is not the faithful who act and receive praise. Rather, it is God. Because it is God's power that accomplishes what needs to be done. I think that's what is the point of the story of the master and the slave. That's the very part of the final part of our gospel. Though it seems a little harsh to us when we When we read this, the point Jesus makes is to remind the disciples of the proper relationship between God and humanity, between the Creator and the creation. As long as we perform our acts of love and service with an eye to gaining praise from others, or with the intent of, say, receiving a reward from God, then we have missed the point. There's nothing we can do to earn God's favor, nor God's grace, nor God's love. There is nothing. These are gifts that God gives. We don't earn them. We do not earn them. They just simply wash over us. They fill us. They surround us. Unearned, unbidden, and unstoppable. I'd like to share a quote with you. It comes from Charles Cusar, who is from the Columbia Presbyterian Seminary. And this is what he states. Quote, "The story in some way," he's talking about our gospel text, "the story in somewhat of a sneaky fashion reminds us of our place and shows us how easy it is to exchange roles. God is God. We are God's creature. No more, no less. But subtly, the order can get reversed, just like it did for Adam and Eve in the garden. When the serpent says to them, 'Go ahead, eat the fruit. You will be like gods.' Why stop there?" Or we start thinking of Jesus as the one who washes feet, forgives sins, hears our prayers, supplies our needs. And an attitude grows to the point where pretty soon we come to expect all that and more. We begin to think that Jesus' chief end is to glorify and serve us forever. End quote. Now, with the story Jesus shares, our Lord reminds us that the kingdom, the power, the glory, everything belongs to God. And any wishful thinking on our part, if only God would just give more faith, then, you know, we'd be able to do more things for God, and the church would be unbelievable in this world. Well, that misses the point. The reality is, we have all the faith that we need. Even that tiny little mustard seed of faith. We have all the faith that we need to do great things for God. Or maybe more correctly, I should put it like this: to allow God to accomplish great things in and with and through us. Faith the size of a mustard seed is enough. It's more than enough to do all that is needed. And so our calling today is to humbly ask God to increase not our faith, but our willingness, you see, to allow God to work in us, to use us in whatever way God chooses for that to be. It's an openness to the Spirit moving us in ministry. Our challenge today is to open up our lives to the leading of the Holy Spirit and to allow that life-giving wind to blow us about in God's world and to serve in whatever way God calls us to serve. Amen.